Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown." He ends the reading. I'll now pass to Jimmy Kiswadi, who will teach us from God's word.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy New Year to you all, and all those of you on Zoom too. Well, I hope you're ready to hear God's word again. I always consider it a privilege to bring God's message, because it's like me being God's spokesman for about half an hour or so. Today, we continue with our series On the Road with Jesus from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Now, chapter 4 is an interesting chapter. Mark's gospel usually talks more about Jesus's actions and things he did rather than teaching. But chapter 4 is the opposite. It talks more about what he was teaching and less about his actions. So chapter 4 is unusual. The only other chapter in Mark that is the same is chapter 13, where there's more teaching rather than action. So let's pray and ask God to help us understand. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you that we can start a new year by worshiping you together. Thank you for your continual love and care for us in the past year. As we look into this well-known parable of the sower, will you please help us and show us new things or remind us of old things? But help us not to be complacent. Help me to speak clearly and stay faithful to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Mark chapter 4 has the parable of the sower, which is also recorded in Matthew and Luke. It's one of the best known parables of Jesus. Has anybody here not heard this parable before? Good, everybody here. I don't know about you and Zoom, but anyway, If this is the first time you hear the parable of the sower, I hope you benefit from it and see new things that God has for you. But for most of us here who already know this so well, let us not be complacent. Let us not be too familiar with it, because God can still use familiar passages to either teach us new things or remind us of old things that we are not obeying. So please keep your Bibles open at Mark chapter 4. It's always a good habit to have your Bibles open when you listen to a sermon, because you not only hear, but you can read and follow it too. Now, verse 1 and 2 gives the setting of the story. It says, Jesus began to teach by the lake. This is Lake Tiberias. That's actually quite a big lake. I was surprised to see how big it is. It's 14 kilometers wide and 21 kilometers north to south. That's why sometimes it's called the Sea of Galilee. So on the map, you can see Jesus' hometown, Capernaum, on the west side of the lake. And again, there was a large crowd. Now, Mark often talks about crowds, not in a positive way. He often is critical about crowds, like here. They make it difficult for Jesus to teach, so he had to sit in a boat, push off a bit from the shore, so he can speak clearer. Now, there is a place on the shore of Lake Galilee where the bay is a circle and the back slopes up, so it's like an amphitheater, a good place to preach. So here's a photo of that. Now, whether this is really the place where Jesus taught, we don't know, you know. For all I know, it could be just a pretty tourism photo promotion. But anyway, coming back to the story, Jesus taught the crowd using parables. Parables are stories that uses ordinary things, but has a deeper meaning. Now, the other interesting thing about Mark is sometimes he writes using a specific Jewish style of writing called a sandwich. What it means is he starts off a story, but before he finishes the story, he talks about something else and then comes back and finishes that story. So you have a piece of bread, then the filling, and then another piece of bread. Now, Mark does this 9 times in his gospel, and the parable of the sower is one of them. When Mark does that, what he wants us to do is focus on the filling in the sandwich. That is the important thing. So in the parable of the sower, you have bread number 1, that is verses 3 to 9, then the filling, verses 10 to 12, and then bread number 2, verses 13 to 20. Please look at your Bible and notice that in the first slice of bread, Jesus starts with listen, verse 3, and finishes with hear, verse 9. So he is not just telling a story to entertain the crowd, okay? Listen and hear. There's something I want to tell you. Pay attention. And then he tells the story of the parable. The seed fell on 4 different places. First 4, it fell along the path that he was walking on. So the seed was very visible to the birds who came quickly, added up, boom, the seed fell. Verse 5, the seed fell on rocky places. This is probably the area where the farmer, when he cleared his land, he pushed the rocks off to one side. There was a bit of soil on top of the rock, so the seed sprang up very quickly, meaning it grew a stem, but obviously no roots because there was no soil below it. When the sun came up, it got scorched by the heat and died. Failed again. Verse 7, the seed fell on the ground, not on a rock this time, but amongst thorns. Both thorns and seed grew, but the thorns were stronger and grew faster. So it choked the seedlings and they died. Failed again. Finally, verse 8 says, some seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop. Success! And what a harvest! 30, 60, 100 times. So if the sower was carrying a bag of 10 kilos, the harvest could be up to 1 ton. Fantastic results. What a result. Let's now go to the second piece of bread, verses 13 to 20, which is the explanation of the parable. Look at verse 13. It's Jesus' reply to the disciples who didn't understand this parable. How then will you understand any parable? Can you hear Jesus' frustration in the voice? This crowd and the disciples have been with him for quite a long time. 12 of them have been specially chosen. They must have seen so many miracles, heard so many stories, etc., but they don't understand a simple parable. So Jesus explains it in detail, okay? Verse 14, the farmer sows the word. Now, the word is the message of Jesus. When Jesus started his ministry in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, his message was, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. What Jesus means is that he is the Messiah who was promised a long time ago in the Old Testament. He is the king and he has now arrived. So the kingdom of God is near. Therefore, you guys better repent of your sins and believe that Jesus has come to save you. That is the word that is being sown. But look at the reaction of the people. Verse 15. Some people are like the seed on the path. As soon as they hear the good news, Satan comes and takes it away, and they totally forget or ignore it. No chance at all for the seeds. Verse 16, they hear it, they receive it. In fact, they receive it with joy. It means they understand that the message of forgiveness is good news. So take it. It's free, isn't it? But because it has no roots, they don't fully understand. They don't understand that you can't treat God as Santa Claus, okay, just wanting the present, but you don't want the giver. So when troubles or persecutions come, they give up. It's too hard. No, notice what kills this seed, okay? What kills it is the lack of roots. What is lacking is below the ground. That means these people are missing something in their heart, inside themselves. Then verse 18 and 19 also describe failure. Excuse me. Here the seeds do fall on good soil because it sprouted, it grew roots, it actually grows, but it grows amongst thorns. And it has competition. Now, this doesn't happen suddenly, okay? Seeds and thorns grow slowly, but the thorns grow faster and stronger and is able to choke it. What killed this group of seeds? Look at verse 19. Worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things. So, unless the previous group of seeds, what kills this group of seeds is what is above the ground, what comes from outside. They do have roots, so in their heart, they do understand the good news, but it can't compete with the attractions of the outside world, worries, wealth, and a desire for other things. Another failure. Finally, verse 20, success. The seeds produce 30, 60, and even 100-fold. The harvest is incredible. Despite much seed being wasted all over the place, the end result is phenomenal. And this is foreshadowing the result of Jesus' work. Despite the opposition, despite the suffering and ending in ultimately his death, the final result is abundantly clear. The good news has spread throughout all the world and includes us here. Isn't it amazing? So if you and I are discouraged when our efforts don't seem to produce any fruit, remember this parable. The results will come, and it doesn't depend on us. It is God through the Holy Spirit who will bring about the fruit. Now, as I said earlier, when we come to a sandwich style of story, pay particular attention to the filling, because that is what the author wants us to focus on. Usually when we hear the parable of the sower, the focus is on the bread. That is the question, what type of soil are you? And that is, of course, a legitimate and good question that we need to keep asking ourselves from time to time. At this point in my journey, what type of soil am I? But unlike Matthew and Luke, Mark actually wants us to focus on something else. He wants us to focus on the filling. So let's do that now. The filling is in verse 10 to 12. Jesus finished this parable by saying in verse 9, "He who has ears, let him hear." Now that's a bit confusing. We all have ears. What do you mean, he who has ears, hear? Well, if you look at verse 10, it says that there were 12 and the others around him. 12 and the others. Where was the crowd in verse 1? There were hundreds of people before. Where have they gone to? When Mark uses the term others around him, he means a small group of people. What about the big crowd? They left. There could be many reasons they left. Maybe they were not really interested in the story, or maybe they were looking for another miracle, you know, a magic show. Or they just came to listen to a good story. Or maybe they were looking for a military messiah. Remember, they were occupied by the Romans. Or maybe they just had enough, okay, I'm not coming back tomorrow, I'm gone. That is why Mark is often negative when he talks about crowds. But to the few who remain, Jesus says in verse 11, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. That means that this small group has now been shown the secret. The kingdom of God has come because Jesus the King is now here, is amongst them. They have seen what he has done. They have heard what he has taught. They have seen his miracles. All these proof that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, as foretold in the Old Testament. The secret that Jesus is the King has now been given to them, to the insiders, but not to the outsiders who left. The outsiders had no idea who Jesus is. And then in verses 11 and 12, Jesus quoted from the prophet Isaiah 6, verses 9 to 10, which is also confusing. Be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of these people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. It almost seems like Jesus wants to deliberately hide the meaning so that the people don't perceive, don't understand, and therefore don't get forgiveness. But that's not the case. This is in fact a warning from Jesus to the hearers then and to us now. You see, 700 years before this incident, God sent the prophet Isaiah to the Jewish people, God's chosen people, to warn them to come back and be obedient and follow him. Not just Isaiah, but lots of other prophets. But history tells us that the Jewish people remained disobedient. And look at the consequences. They got conquered by foreign powers. They were taken into exile. So there are serious consequences for not obeying God. And now Jesus wants to warn their hearers and us, don't make the same mistake again. The small group of people who followed Jesus were the people who have ears and were willing to hear. They heard a little bit, they understood a little bit, and they wanted to know more. So that's why they came. They wanted to spend more time with Jesus. But to those on the outside, verse 11, everything was in parables. A story whose meaning was not explained. All they heard was an interesting story about a sower, but they didn't understand what it meant. And worse still, they didn't care. But to those on the inside, the few people who spent more time with him, their effort was rewarded, and they heard the full explanation. They used the little bit that they knew to seek further understanding. You know the term, use it or lose it, when talking about the human body. We all have muscles. If you don't use it, you lose it. That's the same in the spiritual realm. God has given each one of us an understanding of himself and expects us to want to understand more and come closer to him. But if we're not interested and we don't use the little that we already have, we will lose that too. We may continue to come and hear sermons or talks, but if we don't use our ears to hear and understand, then whatever does go in your ear goes out the other ear without drawing us closer to God. The application of this passage to non-believers is to consider what type of soil you are. If you are here this morning and you are not yet a believer, please analyze why that is. Maybe you never understood what God is offering you, because as soon as you hear the good news, Satan immediately takes it out of your mind and you forget it. If that is the case, why don't you ask someone to come and patiently and carefully explain to you what the good news is so that you do understand? Or maybe, like the second type of soil, you joyfully want the benefits of being God's child, but you don't want God himself in your life. You just want the gifts, but not the giver. Or maybe you're the third type of soil. You are not willing to give up the wealth and the pleasures of this world. You look at the cost of following Jesus and decide it's too much. So whatever category you are in, please ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand. God loves you. He only wants to give the best for you. He is not a spoiled sport. You will not miss on anything. But Mark, of course, was writing to believers like you and I. And he wants us to focus on the filling in the sandwich. Mark wants to challenge us. Are we outsiders or insiders? What have we done with what we already know about Christ? Think about how many sermons you have heard. 50 sermons a year? Multiply that by the number of years you have been a Christian. For some of us, that adds up into the thousands. Add to that all the talks you've heard at conventions, all the Bible studies you've attended. What have you and I done with what we already know about God? If we are inside, it's like those who spent more time with Jesus. It would spur us in our love for him. It would give us a greater hunger to be more like Jesus. It would give us a desire to tell others about the Almighty God who loves sinners like us. If we are insiders, what we already know about Christ would increase our desire to spend time, more time with him. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us read the Bible more so that our lives will be more pleasing to God. Excuse me. Please don't be like the rest of the large crowd, the outsiders, who were not interested in knowing Jesus better. Please don't come to church just to listen to interesting sermons or enjoy the music and then go home totally unchanged. That way, we could be going to church for years or even decades, and yet our faith is shallow. We hardly know Jesus personally. We become people like what Isaiah says, ever hearing, but never understanding, never perceiving. Let's take Mark's challenge seriously and build up on what we already know about Christ. Let's spend a few minutes in silence and let God's word sink in. Amen. Homework for next week. Two things. Be an insider and spend more time with God each day. Secondly, please carefully read Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. The more you are prepared from the passage before you come, the more you will get out of the sermon. Have a blessed week, everyone.